Hello, and welcome to this edition of Pregnancy Place Radio. I'm Karen Wells.
And I'm Erica Madison.
And today we have a great show for you. We are going to be talking about baby sign language and early communication with infants and toddlers. And we're looking forward to understanding more about the baby sign language. And so we've got a great guest on the show today.
Yep. We have Sarah Fogel from Tiny Talkers. And she, you know, she's going to tell us all about her program and everything. And I just want to say that we're, you know, where you have found us. You found us on either our blog, which is pregnancyplace.fm, or on Twitter or on Facebook. And so we continue our conversation there. And we are actually running a contest through all of those venues. On our blog, you can get onto our contest by posting a comment on our Tiny Talkers show. And we were planning on announcing our contest winner, but we have, you know, a few entries and we want to make sure that all of Portland knows about this. So we want to send out a few more tweets and make sure people know that it's happening so Tiny Talkers can have some people know about them and know about us. And, you know, it's all good.
And it's great because, you know, we have the contest, which we are giving away. Shira, yep, with Tiny Talkers is giving away free entry into the workshop for a couple. So that would be two adults, whether it be a mom and a dad or whoever needs to be the main communicator's baby. But she's offering that. And we felt like, well, maybe because we just had a couple entries that we needed to have Shira on and explain more about baby sign language. And then there's going to be people listening to this broadcast that are going to say, okay, I get it now. Because there is a little bit of a misunderstanding somehow, or just a kind of this concept of, well, why would you sign to your baby? And what is the purpose of signing to the baby? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to be talking about on the show today, and being able to clear up some of the areas, maybe even bring some more understanding in some areas. And then by the end of the show, you guys are going to want to be able to take Shira's workshop. And then the way to get a free entry is to leave a comment on our blog or leave a comment on the Facebook page, either Pregnancy Place Radio Facebook page or even the Tiny Talkers Facebook page. So yeah, we're going to go ahead and run that contest for one more week and be able to gather a few more entries after this show. So you'll probably learn a few things and want to sign up for that contest.
Yep. I love the venues of being able to talk to everybody through Facebook. And Karen and I are working on having a live chat room on our show. So as that comes forward, we will tell you more about that so we can have people chime in on the show live. So I would like to welcome Shira today from Tiny Talkers.
Thank you. Welcome, Sharon. Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, and we met at a local kind of networking group that was for moms, and you and I got to talking, and, you know, it wasn't very long, and, you know, we were talking about sign language and our passions and our desires, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Sure.
And, you know, your kids, family, that kind of thing.
Sure. I've been living out in Portland almost 11 years now. Love it. And I've been interested in sign language for a long time. I was just telling Erica that I used to watch The Interpreters and just, you know, always been fascinated by it. But when my daughter was born, I've got two kids. My daughter's 6 and my son is 2. And when my daughter was born, you know, I think most parents at this point have heard of the concept of signing with your baby. Whether they choose to do it or not is another story, but I was quite fascinated by it given my history and decided to look into it a little bit more. And I just couldn't believe how life-changing it was. It's not just a fad thing. It's really life-altering in how you can communicate with your baby so young. So that's when I really got into signing on the baby scale. Was about 6 years ago when my daughter was born. And then I really kicked it up to a whole new level when my son was born. And I had my daughter helping me, of course. And, mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun.
In preparing for the show, I was able to kind of think back to my own children because I kind of did the same thing. You know, I had my first and he's 20, so I didn't really think about sign language for him. But my next, who's 14, we did quite a lot of sign. But it was such a natural process of, you know, signing for milk and more and no and done. And some very, very simple, easy to utilize signs. We didn't do a huge dialogue. But I was thinking back and I don't remember doing it as much until I watched my home videos. And it's like, man, they're signing help and they're signing no and they're signing, you know, more and please and thank you. And I'm like, wow, we were signing a lot.
You do forget, because once they start to talk, it just takes you to a new level. And usually, unless you're really actively pursuing it as teaching it as a second language, usually when they start to speak, then the signing just naturally trails off. And so you do forget how much they use it.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we do talk about, I mean, I my background in sign language, I think I've told our listeners, but that I have my degree in sign language interpreting. And so I've always had a love and a passion for it. And so it makes sense to me why it's good. But I think it would be good for us to talk about, you know, to our listeners, why is it that it makes a difference? I mean, is it just a fad? Is it just something that, oh, you know, hey, it's fun. It's just another way of communicating. But I actually, I mean, you know, and Shira, this is where we're going to have you talk about this as well, but there's actual physiological benefits to, and developmental benefits to signing with your baby from an early age.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the founders of the whole baby sign language movement noticed that the hearing children of his deaf friends were sign language experts by about 9 months of age. But the hearing children of his hearing friends weren't doing a whole lot of communicating at all, just pointing and grunting, as we know, you know, a regular 9-month-old does.
Right,
and
right.
So, yeah, I mean, amazing communication skills. And basically what's happening is, through all the years of research, the research on brain development is showing that starting around 5 months of age, babies really understand a lot. In fact, most of the language that's happening. We don't give them credit for that because they can't speak yet. We have no clue that they're really tuned into what we're saying. So psychologically, you know, if you can communicate with your 5-month-old or 6-month-old, that sets the tone for communication for the rest of their lives. I mean, it increases bond for sure. That's the biggest thing, attachment parenting and bonding with your child. Having them know that, hey, my big person that takes care of me gets it. They understand me. And so that's definitely amazing. And then as far as what it's doing in their head, and I think this is definitely worthwhile to note, because it's not just a fad type thing. It is actually building greater brain function, because sign language is such a visual language. Mm-hmm. It's using both sides of the brain. It's using both right side and left side. Mm-hmm. Information stored in one side of the brain takes in the what they see from the signing, and information stored in the other side of the brain takes in the spoken word. Mm-hmm. So you're creating these synapses, which basically are the building blocks for greater brain function. So it's really, really helping, and it's about 12 points higher. The IQ is about 12 points higher than non-signing kids. And basically what that means is, as they progress, you know, through childhood, it ends up putting them about a year ahead of their non-signing peers.
That's really great. There's, I can see where, you know, that attachment parenting piece where people are really tuned into what their children are trying to tell them.
Yeah.
So there's that piece of the nurture, but then also they're just not as frustrated.
Absolutely.
So the frustration level of the mom and the parents and, you know, the child themselves goes way down.
Higher IQ is just icing on the cake, you know,
<That's right. laughs>
you know, reduced frustration. And the thing I always tell my students is that you'll hear a lot less crying in the house, and that's from you too, you know, because it's so frustrating when you can't understand what your baby wants, and you find yourself saying, okay, what you always go through your mental checklist. What is it that you want? Do you want milk? Do you need your diaper changed? You know, what is it that you want? And so this just lets you stop playing the guessing game,
right?
Lets them just clue you right in to knowing what it is that they want.
So say somebody wants to learn about sign language. Mm-hmm. What's the best way? So, I mean, I know I've seen videos and I've seen, you know, books and what's...
Well, there are basically three ways. You can pick up a book and you can learn signs. Certainly you can be probably mildly successful doing it that mm-hmm, way. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit hard to look at pictures in a book with the arrows and, you know, try to figure out what exactly that sign is. But what key piece is missing there is basically the psychology of how babies absorb this information. So just by looking at an ASL dictionary, it doesn't tell you how a baby will absorb this information. Then there's videos. I think that the signing time videos are mm-hmm. great. They've got a lot of entertainment value in them mm-hmm. for sure. But that's something that I don't recommend putting a baby in front of the TV.
Right.
I'm strongly against that, you know, but
American Academy of Pediatrics. Yeah. So, you know,
I mean, as they get a little bit older, it could be a great way for them to learn some more signs, but you're not going to put your 5-month-old in front of the TV. And even if you did, they would just see pretty colors and lights and mm-hmm. swirls. They're not going to really absorb what's happening. They learn it.
Language is learned ultimately through relationship.
Exactly.
Language is learned through the give and the take. And I mean, that's where it's going to happen.
Exactly. So what I do in my workshop is I teach the parents. The parents come to my workshop and it's usually recommended that they, you know, come without the baby just so they can concentrate better. And I just teach them everything that they need to know about how babies learn, how they develop, mm-hmm. Go through very specific scenarios. And another thing that I do in my class that I don't think is very well explained in a book is I talk about more abstract signs. So things like hurt and help, even more is an abstract sign. You can't point to it. It doesn't have an identity. You know, you
right.
can't point to it. So we talk about very specific scenarios of how you can go and illustrate that to your child. So, yeah.
And I think it would be good to even to kind of going back to talking about how this develops in a baby. I mean, one of the things that is so powerful about baby sign language is the capacity of the child to be able to begin communicating sooner than the babbling of the vocal cords, you know, in that when you have a baby developing, you know, going into the gross motor movements and fine motor movements, in that the tongue area and the mouth area and all of that area to develop actual speech are a lot of fine movements. I mean, that's why when babies begin to start to communicate through speech, they'll communicate with you know, and very fine motor movement types of sounds. And the babbling that happens with speech, you know, happens when they start to have, you know, mastery over these fine motor movements. Whereas with sign language, these are gross motor movements. You know, you can use, you know, a baby is going to have much more control over their arms and their hands, and that before they would develop the control over their mouths. And so you're able to actually give the babies tools from the beginning to start signing much sooner and communicating much sooner than they would develop with talking.
Exactly. It's a way to bridge the gap. You know, like you said, there's a lot of coordination involved in speaking. The vocal cords aren't fully developed until around 16 months of age, and the, you know, the breath sounds and the tongue movements, there's a lot that goes into speaking. And the muscles in the hands definitely develop a lot quicker. And so it's just a way to bridge the gap, just because they do understand and they want to speak to us. So,
and if you've learned anything about language development, it's fun because they do go through the babbling stages, you know, where they'll do mom, 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 and they'll just play with it. They'll actually mm-hmm. play with their sounds. Well, it's so fun. And I watch this in my own children, and maybe we can talk a little bit about some of your experience with your own children and how they developed it. But I watch them babble even with signs. In that, say, for example, the sign for mom or mother is the hand at the head, and it's the thumb that touches the head of an open hand. Well, they would babble with it in that they would put their palm on their head, or they would, you know, put, you know, their, you know, and it, so it would approximate mom, mm-hmm. but not quite get there. And as they developed in their ability to sign, they would get it more correct and more accurate. But it was so fun to just watch even them trying to get these signs out and them being able to play with these signs.
Yeah. Well, and you, of course, even though they're capable of making signs, they're not going to be perfect. You know, American Sign Language, it's not going to be perfectly formed. And you can see from looking at the signs of my son on my website, you can see him doing signs, and you think, if you know American Sign Language, you know, well, that's not exactly perfect. Well, even for a two-year-old to be able to do such fine motor skills to do it perfectly, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. But yep. he does it perfectly fine enough for me to understand what he's trying to sign.
He has a two-year-old's accent in sign language.
Yeah, exactly. And anybody yep. that's familiar with signing, if you're working with signing, whether you're, you know, the parent or a daycare provider, you pick up what they're trying to sign based on the context in which they're signing it mm-hmm, also. Mm-hmm. So there's other clues to help you.
So you talked a moment ago about that it actually encourages the language development and yeah. that people or children who are use sign language actually develop, you know, more quickly in language, yeah. in verbal language. But I have two children who had some speech delay, and we did use sign. And what I found is that it helped bridge that gap even. Mm-hmm. So if you know, we did experience that we had this, like, well, my 14-year-old at 6 was speaking at a 2-year-old's level, and we had to go to speech therapy at that point. But mm-hmm. we used sign a lot in that interim, right. you know, so he could help communicate.
And what a fortunate thing, because otherwise it would have been a very frustrating time mm-hmm, in your mm-hmm. life. Yeah. A lot of people have the misconception that if you sign with your baby, they're not going to speak at right. all. And that's absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's the opposite. Signing helps your child speak earlier. Babies are primed for language. And if you do this, you're helping to work on the language center. You're really working on their early language skills a lot more. And unlike some other programs out there who advocate for making up your own, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. basically making up your own baby sign language. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I advocate for is teaching actual American Sign Language. And I think it's important, if you're going to teach them a language, make it a valid language. Mm-hmm. But the other reason is because with some of the other made up things, they say, like, for example, hot. If you want to make up a sign for hot, you're probably going to go and blow. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're making up a sign and you're using your mouth, then you're not enabling the baby to practice saying the word. And so when you're doing American Sign Language within the context of signing with a baby, mm-hmm. you're always going to speak the word while you sign the word. So that helps them to learn the language as well. So basically it's just a natural extension of right. what you're already doing.
And the beautiful thing about American Sign Language is a lot of the signs develop naturally. I watched, when I was in college, I would watch videos of, they would video kids playing on the playground that had no knowledge of American Sign Language. And these were deaf kids, you know, and they were in, you know, being taught English and being taught to speak. And they would eventually come up with signs that were very much approximated to what American Sign Language is. And so I think it's really good to talk even to parents. And this is why, you know, we were so excited, Shira, to have you on the show and with Tiny Talkers, because it's not as hard as people think. You know, you right. don't have to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go and learn an entirely new language, and I don't know if I'm up for that. I've got all these other things I have to worry about. I still have to figure out how I'm going to pay for a crib.
Right.
And, you know, what am I going
to
do?
And new parents are so tired, too. To the thought of learning a new language is often kind of scary. But,
so some of the things, tell us about some of the things you do in your workshop to mm-hmm. make it very, quote, well, kind of user-friendly. And, you know, make it to where parents don't have to be intimidated by the concept of signing to their children.
Well, and as you know, American Sign Language is very iconic in nature. So it's really not as hard as you would think. It's not like trying to, you know, learn, you know, a totally different language, because a lot of it makes sense. You know, the sign for eat is you bring your fingertips up to your mouth like you're eating. The sign for drink is like you're holding a glass and tipping it up to your mouth.
So, or milk.
Yeah, yeah. Milk is, mm-hmm. is although a lot of nursing mothers don't like to be thought of as a milk cow, it's squeezing your hand like you're, you know, yeah. like you're milking a cow. But yeah, so we go through a little over 80 signs in the workshop. And what I find when I'm looking out at my students as I'm teaching it is I see them, they're nodding their heads like, oh gosh, that makes sense. That's easy. So,
because, yeah. you know, there is like this picture to the motion of the hand. Right. So like tree kind of looks like a tree. Morning kind of looks like the sun rising.
Right.
You know, yeah. and, it, you know, so there is that picture, and I'm very visual. So,
yeah. And kids are too. Mm-hmm. And that's why this makes so much sense. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about some very specific scenarios, like how do you teach the sign for hot without hurting your baby in the process, you know, you know, burning their hand,
right,
you know,
right.
we just go through a lot of very specific scenarios to
make it. And I like the fact that you also teach how to teach. You know, there's one thing about just picking up a book and starting to learn, a, you know, a sign. Oh, this is what the sign is for all done. Mm-hmm. I'm full or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then, in your workshop, you also then go through how to have a parent work with their child,
right?
And, you know, helping to, you know, facilitate that interaction.
Right. And, you know, one of the things I don't think is covered enough in a book, and certainly not in any type of video, is just how much repetition is involved. It's serious repetition mm-hmm. when, you know, when you're in the beginning stages of teaching them. And I really think parents don't grasp that's, you know, mm-hmm. just the vast amount of practice time that it takes before it clicks.
So but it also is everyday moments. So, yeah. you know, it's not like, oh, let's sit down for 5 minutes and practice. It's
right.
like, oh, do you want milk? You know, do you want more?
They learn it in the context, you know, of their
and
daily routine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so you're not
immersion.
Teaching signs like teaching the sign for the country Germany. I mean, that's not
right. right.
You know,
and nor do I recommend fingerspelling for young babies because that
Good,
doesn't
because
make
I
sense
can't fingerspell.
To them. Well, it just doesn't make sense to them. You know
right.
what I mean? They need to learn very slowly. You could progress to that.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's as hard as a lot of people think. You know, I'm a tired parent and I'm trying to figure all this out.
Right.
And really by the time you're, and we should probably talk about this a little bit, by the time you're ready to start signing with them, you're past that initial hump of, oh my gosh, you just sent me home from giving birth without an instruction manual. And what do I do now? You know, you've had a few months to get to know your baby's personality, mm-hmm. become comfortable being a parent.
So what is the best time to kind of start showing, you know, showing the signs and using them?
You can, of course, you know, deaf parents don't not sign with their babies from the get-go. I mean, you could always, you know, sign. But as far as really actively working on teaching it, mm-hmm. I usually wait until about 5 or 6 months at the earliest. It's not until about 4.5, 5 months before the babies have their visual acuity.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be really hard for them to really focus on what you're doing too. And then there has to be that cognitive piece too, where they've got the memory, they've mm-hmm. got to have the manual dexterity happening in their hands at the same time. So typically between 5 or 6 months old is when that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as babies signing back to you. So there's going to be a practice period, you know, where you're working on it. Baby's looking at your hands. You know that something's happening, but they're not actually signing back to you. Typically between 6 and 8 months old is when they're ready to mm-hmm. start signing back. And it's a very slow progression, you know, in the beginning. I tend to notice that around 9 or 10 months is a little bit more of an explosion of signs and a kind of...
And Shira, I think it's interesting that in your experience, your child actually surprised you very much with the degree of learning and how quickly they learned.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. My son, I mean, I did a lot of signs with my daughter. And, you know, like we talked about, when you sign with your child, they tend to speak earlier. So by 18 months old, she was speaking just beautiful, full sentences. So the signing stopped pretty early for her. And with my son, I just thought, wow, I'm just going to keep teaching him. As long as he's having fun, let's keep going with this. And by 18 months old, he knew over 125 signs, which if you asked me before I started doing this, I'd say that's not possible. Because we just don't give them enough credit for what they're capable of doing. It's just...
And then I think I remember hearing a story too about your, I think it was he 7 months old and he was, you were surprised that he could even put two signs together.
Yeah, he did. He started a conversation with us. We were in the mall and he saw another baby and he signed baby and then he signed hat. He was trying to tell us that he saw another baby that was wearing a hat and that was amazing. My daughter around 9 months old, this is a cute little story I like to tell too, yeah. Because it's it just, they surprise you, you know, kids do, they just surprise you at such a young age when you're clued into what they're thinking. I gave her a little baby doll that, you know, the kind where you push the tummy and it cries. Uh-huh. And she was leaning against the doll. And I think she was 9 months old and the baby started crying and she just looked so upset. Why is this baby crying? She looked at the baby and she started signing milk. She knew when she was crying, she signed milk to me and that uh-huh. made her feel better. So she signed milk to her baby. And I just, it just struck me as such a moment like, wow, you know, she got it. She totally gets it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say that in my experience too, you have to kind of give your friends and your babysitters a little bit of heads up before they jump in when you've got a baby that knows what they're talking about and knows to sign. And they are, you know, just going at it. And I remember getting a frantic phone call from a babysitter saying, you know, your daughter is just, she's slapping her hands together and she's just so adamant about it. And I can't figure out what she's saying. And it came to find out, you know, she wanted more and she was signing more over and over and over and over again. And the poor babysitter just didn't get it. But boy, my daughter, and if you know my daughter doesn't give up very easily. And so from even, I think it had to have been, you know, she had to have been 13 months, 14 months old, and she just kept signing. And that, you know, again, the babysitter called me and said, what is she trying to tell me? And as soon as then, we were able to get her more of whatever it was she was wanting. She was fine. Yeah. And she just went on. And you're right. I mean, the benefits of, you know, being able to actually communicate with a child on more levels than just the vocal, you know, waiting for them to develop speech. I mean, it is invaluable and I highly recommend it. And Shira, I thank you for having a workshop that is very approachable. I mean, one thing you didn't mention was that it's only 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not something that's 8 weeks and that, you know, is going to require, you know, so much time, you know, that you have spent your time developing a workshop that, you know, narrows it all down, boils it all down, gives the parents tools, what they need, which is why here at Pregnancy Place Radio, we are so excited to be able to provide tools that parents can use. And, we're thankful that you were able to come on the show today and share and talk about, you know, ways and, then even give parents tools. And so for those of you in the Portland area, you're not going to want to miss the contest and get your entry in because you'll get a free, entry into that, into Shira's workshop.
So Shira, tell us exactly how we can contact you. So your website, what is the address?
www.tinytalkersportland.com.
Very good. And you have a Facebook page.
I do. I think if you just type in Tiny Talkers Portland on Facebook, it should pull
Very
up.
Very good. Yeah. Because they're like Karen was saying, we have the contest that we're connected through so we can help plug that in. And
you also have a great calendar of your upcoming, of right. all the upcoming, I mean, there are multiple ways that parents could jump into workshops in the Portland area.
And I tried to schedule them all over Portland. And I also try to do it. Some are during the week, some are on the weekend, some are in the evening. I really try hard to make it accessible for parents who have all different schedules.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Shira, for joining us today. We appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here.
It was good talking with you. Thank you so
much. And
that
about does it. But you know, Erica, I'm just so, again, you know, we have made our heart's desire for the show to be able to provide tools for parents and, and just have conversations about different things. And we are, you know, we're honored to be able to do this show. We're honored to be able to have people like Shira with Tiny Talkers. And we also work with other companies that provide great resources for moms and babies. And we want to also announce a wonderful sponsorship of G Diapers that they have joined with Pregnancy Place Radio, and they're the best of class diapers, and they've got, they're the only 100% certified biodegradable diaper that's out there on the market, and they are happy to be joining with us, and you're going to be hearing more about our partnership with G Diapers and in the future, in future episodes.
They have some great programs too. They have a program called G Mom and G, or G Mum and G Dad, and you can go on gdiapers.com and look at their Facebook page, and they have this large community. So they have some community sponsorship pieces. We're one of the shows that they do, and love the mums there.
Yes, absolutely. And so that really kind of just about does it for our show today. You know, you're going to want to check out the Tiny Talkers website, tinytalkersportland.com, and also be watching our Facebook and Twitter page as we send out more information about our upcoming shows. And for Pregnancy Place Radio, I'm Karen Wells.
And I'm Erica Madison. Thank you for tuning in.